want you to go this morning to Genesis chapter 1 with me. And if I was entitled this message, I would simply call it God is Good. Let's start with Genesis chapter 1. I just want to read verses 1 through 4. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light, it was good. And God saw that the light, it was good. So in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, again we see that God is the creator of all things. That everything that is created, he created by the power of his hand. And we also learn in Hebrews 1:3 that he's not only the creator of all things, but God holds all things by the word of his power. He sustains all things by the word of his power. Again, just thinking about the Gospels, you see a story in the Gospels. Disciples are in a storm. It's a horrific storm. And Jesus comes walking to them upon the water. And when you really look at the picture, there's an amazement that rises up in the heart that says, wow, the waters is holding Jesus up. But brothers and sisters, the waters wasn't holding Jesus up. Jesus was holding the water up because he upholds all things by the word of his power. So we see he's the creator. He's the one who upholds all things by the word of his power. And when you go through Genesis chapter 1, you see a phrase, a truth that's repeated continually. And that's simply these words. And he saw that it was good. And he saw that it was good. And when you really look at those words, you see that from the very beginning of creation, the goodness of God is revealed. The manifestation of God's goodness is plainly revealed going all the way back to Genesis 1 in creation. Now, when the Bible says that God saw that it was good, that word good, it means, implies three different things, three different truths. And it's the third truth that I really want to look at this morning, but I want to go through all three. So first of all, when it says God saw that it was good, he looked at his creation and saw that it was good, it simply means that there was a joy that came to his heart. That he looked at his creation and there was a joy, there was a pleasure, there was a delight that came to his heart. And that is one of the things I really love about God. God isn't some kind of austere man. Not some kind of stern man. The Lord takes pleasure in what he created. It brings a real joy. It brings a real delight to God's heart. There's such a delight in his creation. Secondly, it means that it was perfectly made for the purpose in which he designed it. That when God said it's good, he's saying it's perfectly made for the purpose in which I designed it. That when God creates, he always creates for a purpose. And he creates for a purpose, and everything he created was perfect for the purpose in which he created it for. It was good. But thirdly, it also means that God created everything good and right. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. God created everything good and right. This word good in the Hebrew language in which it was written, this word good in the Hebrew, one of the definitions it gives is right, upright. That God saw that it was right. That God saw he created it upright. In other words, he created it after the desires of his own heart. He created it and it was right according to the desires of his heart. And brothers and sisters, what I simply want to say is this. Listen, when God created the heavens and when God created the earth, there was no sin in the earth. At this time, there was no starvation. There was no death. There was no disease. There was no suffering. There wasn't anything like that. When God created the heavens and the earth was right. The earth was whole. The earth was pure because that was the desire of God's heart. That's the way he created it. And when God created the heaven and the earth, what I want us to understand is this. It wasn't in God's heart. It wasn't his desire for man to fall. It wasn't his desire for sin and disobedience to come into the earth with all of the destruction, with all of the starvation, with all of the diseases that we find in the earth today. That was not God's intended purpose. That was not the desire of his heart. When he created the earth and the world, it was right. It was whole. It was pure. That was his heart. Now, we could ask the question, well, did the Lord know from the very beginning of creation, from the foundation of the world, that man was going to fall into the sin? And that we would have the results of the effect of sin in the earth before he created? Yes, he did. Because God created man with a will. God created man with the capacity to choose. God desired from his people that his people would obey him because they loved him. They would obey him because they trusted in his fatherly wisdom, his godly wisdom. So he made with the man with the ability to choose, the capacity to make choices, and man made the choice to sin. Man made the choice to disobey God. But we have to understand that wasn't the desire of God's heart. When he first created heaven and man, he said, it's good. Everything is pure. Everything is whole. That's the desire of his heart. Now, what's happening in our world today is that people are looking at the consequences, or looking at the result of the fall, and they're judging the goodness of God. They're saying, look at all the starvation in the world. Look at all the wars and people dying, and look at all the diseases. How can God be good? That's the judgment that they're making with their heart. But you have to understand it was sin and it was disobedience that brought war and famines and death and destruction in the land. You cannot look at the result of the fall and the tragedy of the earth and judge the goodness of God. You have to look at his original purpose. When God created it, he said everything is good. Everything is upright. Everything is whole. Everything is pure. That was the way that the Lord created it. So again, we could ask, well, didn't God have the power to stop man from sinning? Didn't he have the power to stop man from disobedience? Again, the question is, yes, he did. But you got to understand again, God created man for the purpose of a love relationship with him. Brothers and sisters, that involves choice. Man has to have the capacity to choose. It was not God's desire to program men like computers. Wasn't his desire to program men like robots. No, he says, I'm creating you. I want you to obey me because you love me. I want you to obey me and walk under the government of my word because you trust my wisdom. You trust my fatherly wisdom, my godly wisdom. So he made man with the choice, and man chose to disobey. So here's the question that then comes to heart. But man did fall. And suffering and death and disease and starvation plagues our earth today because man chose to disobey God. Does that forfeit his goodness in the earth? No. Because in the midst of the suffering and in the midst of a wicked and evil world, in the midst of sin running rampant, and in the midst of the confusion, God's goodness is plainly revealed. Plainly revealed. So let's talk about it. There are six things on my heart I want to bring out. Three or four of them just very briefly. But I want to look at God's goodness in the earth. First of all, in this fallen world, God's goodness is revealed in redemption. You know, the book of Romans tells us that when Adam and Eve chose to disobey God, immediately man was stricken with the sin nature. Man became a slave to sin. From the very beginning, from the first generation, from Adam's firstborn, all the way to our generation today, every baby that has ever been born in this world has been born with a sin nature. That mama and daddy has passed that sin nature down to their children. And because we're born with a sin nature, we are children of wrath. Because God is holy, and God is just, and God is fair. So he has to judge sin. But the Bible tells us that because God loved us passionately and deeply, he sent his own son, a perfect son, a sinless son, to come and die for our sins and to bear the wrath of God upon himself. My wrath for sin and the wrath that belonged to you for your sin was placed upon Jesus Christ, and he bore the wrath for our sin. God sent his son to save us from a very godless, horrible eternity apart from God, and he done it by sending his son to die a horrible death on the cross. But brothers and sisters, the Lord didn't only send his son to save us from hell, but he sent his son to restore us back to our original purpose with God. What is our original purpose with God? Well, it says in the Bible, talking about Adam and Eve, it says that God was walking in the cool of the day in the garden. And brothers and sisters, that's why Jesus died. Jesus died so I can walk with God every single moment of my life. Jesus died so that you can walk with God every single moment of your life. That daily we can experience the love of God and we can experience the pleasure of God. The pleasure that God takes in His people. That we can come into an incredible, listen, a living, very personal, incredible intimacy with God because God is good. That was His heart. That was His purpose. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. Listen to me. When we're not playing games with God, and we're not walking half-hearted with God, and we're not professing to be something we're not, a holy, loving people and hiding sin and disobedience in the closet. When you put all that away, you have a people that's truly walking with God. I'm telling you, there is an incredible life in that relationship with God. There's an incredible life. God comes and He begins to reveal Himself in your life, through your life, in a very personal and very powerful way. You begin this earth, you begin to walk with God and you begin to talk with God in a very personal way. God begins to do things in your life and through your life that only God can do. I'm telling you, when you truly seek after God with all your heart and you're walking in obedience to the Lord, there is an incredible life that's revealed in this relationship with God that all the things of this world cannot even begin to touch. And it doesn't stop there. The Bible says that when He made Adam and Eve, He said, I want to make man in my own image. In other words, God was saying, when I look at Adam, I want to see myself. I want to see my heart. I want to see my nature. And that's the way He created Adam and Eve. And the goodness of God in our fallen world today is simply this, that when we give our life to the Lord, and we truly make Him the focal point of our heart. The Bible says, beholding as in a glass, we are changed, we are transformed from glory to glory, image to image by the Spirit of God. We are conformed more and more to Christ Jesus. Now think about that. That's a very powerful truth. I want to tell you something. When I go into the Gospels and I read the stories about Jesus Christ, my heart just begins to stir. My heart begins to burn. When I read about this man whose very touch could heal the rejection in the heart of lepers. When I read about this man that could walk on storms that made the manliest of men quake and shiver with fear. When I read about this man who had such an inner strength that he could pray the mercy of God upon people when they were afflicting him horribly. There's something that comes in my heart and says, I want to be like that. I want to be like Jesus. There's never been a man on the face of the earth like Him. God, I want to be like that. But the good news, the answer always comes back the same way to my heart. Tim, be of good courage. I'm making you like that. I'm making you like Jesus. You can be confident that every day of your life, I'm working in your heart and I'm making you more like Christ. Brothers and sisters, I'm talking about the incredible goodness of God. God is good. God is good. Secondly, in this fallen world, God's goodness is revealed in His blessings. Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in His own image. And verse 20 it says, and God blessed him. And brothers and sisters, in this fallen world in which we live, God knows how to bless His people. God knows how to pour out His goodness upon His people. The pleasure of our Father's heart is to bless His people. Brothers and sisters, we talking about, you know, God's physical blessings, His goodness. We all may not be blessed the same way with the same things, but God is so blessing our lives because He's good. Jesus said in Matthew 7, He says, if you being evil know how to give good things to your children, how much more does your heavenly Father want to give good gifts to His children? God desires to bless His people. And this morning, I want to tell you something. I am a blessed man. I am so blessed of the Lord. God has so blessed my life. The Lord has given me a wife, a godly woman that I can trust with all of my heart. He's given me two wonderful children. The Lord is using my life in the ministry. He's given me a home. He's given me a car. I have three meals to eat. I am so blessed of God. But I'm not the only one that's blessed of God. You're blessed of God. We can't even begin to count our blessings. You want to know why? Because God is good. The Lord is good. And even more so, not only does He bless us with physical blessings, but brothers and sisters, we have a spiritual inheritance in Christ that is absolutely priceless. It belongs to us as we walk with God in this earth. And I'm to tell you, the longer I walk with God in this earth, the more and more that spiritual inheritance becomes so precious to my heart. I remember hearing a testimony by Billy Graham's daughter. Her name is Ann Graham. And she was just sharing the testimony in one of her teachings. She's very anointed of the Lord to just reveal the heart of God in His Word. And she was talking about how once her husband and her children years ago took a vacation. And when they took a vacation, robbers came in and robbed her house. Now listen, when we're talking about robbing her house, we're not talking about taking jewelry and money. They kicked the door in, brought a moving van, put it at her front door, and they took everything out of that house. I mean, they robbed that house of everything. And when she and her husband and kids came back and found the door kicked in and everything gone, she said a horrible despair just come over her life. And she said that night she was laying on her floor because they didn't have a bed with her children. And she was just being smothered in a cloud of despair. And she said, Lord, she began to talk to the Lord in her despair. And she said, Lord, everything that I have can be taken away from me. Everything. My husband can die. My children are going to grow up one day and they're going to leave home. And God, as I have seen, someone can steal anything I have in this material world. They can just come right in and they can take it. God, everything I have, I can lose. But she said in the middle of that despair, that still small, sweet voice of God came and pierced the darkness. And says, you have an inheritance in me that no man can take from you. You have an inheritance in me that there's no man on the face of this earth has the power to take from you. And she began to count her spiritual blessings. And she said by the time she got done, there were so many that she just had to put them in alphabetical order. So I'm just going to read you her alphabetical order. She said, A, I'm accepted by God. B, I'm blessed by God. C, I'm chosen by God. D, I'm delivered by God. E, I'm enlightened by God. I, I'm forgiven by God. G, I have His grace. H, I have His hope. I have intimacy with God. J, I'm justified by God. K, I have the knowledge of God. L, I am loved by God. M, I have His mercy. N, I am brought near to God. O, I am made one with God. P, I have His peace. Q, I am quickened and given life by His Spirit. R, I am redeemed by God. S, I am being sanctified by God. T, I am His priceless treasure. U, I am united with God. V, I am validated as an authentic child of God. W, I have His wisdom. X, Y, Z, one day I will be exalted and ever liveth in heavenly places with God for all in eternity. I have an inheritance in God. Why? One reason. Because God is good. God is good. Beloved, we should be a joyful people. Because God has blessed us with so many good things. And on the other hand, in this fallen world, God's goodness is revealed in the suffering of His people. What I mean by that, the Lord knew that His people on this earth were going to suffer. His people, just because His people are His people, doesn't mean that we're exempt from crisis and calamity and tragedies and suffering and sorrow. It doesn't mean we're exempt of that at all. Jesus knew that His people were going to suffer, so He willingly left heaven and came down to earth to touch the suffering of His people. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities." Jesus understood that His people was going to experience suffering, so He willingly left heaven and came to earth, and He willingly subjected Himself to horrible suffering. He willingly subjected Himself to horrible suffering, that when His people suffer, He can have compassion. And out of that place of compassion, He can offer strength. He can offer comfort. He can offer grace because He's been there. He understands. And brothers and sisters, here's the pricelessness of it. Listen. You really have to love someone to willingly partake of their suffering. You have to really, really, really love someone to willingly partake of their suffering. So the goodness of God is not only revealed in the great blessings, but it's revealed when His people suffer. I understand. I've been there. I can comfort you. You have an open throne. Come and receive the grace and strength that you need. Why? Because God is good. Amen. In this falling world, God's goodness is revealed in the goodness of His Word. We see in the very beginning, before the fall, you see the incredible goodness of the Word of God. Genesis 2:16 says, "And the Lord commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." So what's happening is the Word of God comes to a man and says, "I want you to enjoy the absolute fullness of my garden, the absolute fullness of my table. I'm inviting you to enjoy the absolute fullness of my table." You see the incredible goodness of the Word of God. And when I think about fallen humanity and the goodness of God's Word, I can't help but think of the Word of the Lord that came to the exiles in their Babylonian captivity. The Lord says to His people in captivity, He says, Jeremiah 29:10, He says, "Thus after 70 years be accomplished," He says, "I will visit you," and listen to this, "and I will perform my good word toward you." That's what He said. In other words, He's saying, when I bring you out of captivity, one more time, you're going to walk in the goodness of my word. One more time, you're going to walk in the blessing of my word. And brothers and sisters, Jesus on the cross has delivered us from sin, from captivity of sin. And the moment a man and a woman is born again, they immediately begin to walk in the goodness of the Word of God. I'm telling you, this Word has so many incredible truths, so many incredible promises that are both of ours, that are all of ours, that when we begin to walk with God, we begin to experience the incredible goodness of His Word. His Word begins to speak to us. There is a place in intimacy with God that you can have, that you don't have to have head knowledge. You can know God in your heart. You can be in a place where you can share your heart with God, and God can share His heart with you. The incredible promise of intimacy with God. There's promises of healing. There's promises of deliverances. There's promises of restoration. There's promises of great blessings in the Word of God. Brothers and sisters, immediately when we're born again, we begin to walk in the goodness of the Word of God, and it's priceless. And when I think about the goodness of the Word of God, there's only one thing that comes to my mind, and that is the life that is in the Word of God. That, brothers and sisters, when your heart is right with God and you begin to get into this book, the Holy Spirit supernaturally breathes life into this Word, and you begin to have a personal conversation and life with God in His Word. The life that is in His Word. Beloved, catch this. I hope you can hear it. When you go into the Word of God, God brings you face to face with Himself. Think about that. Think about God taking fallen man, saving him, and then bringing him face to face with Himself. That's what every time we open the Word of God, that's what He does. A wonderful saint of God once said these words, just talking about the Scriptures. He said, "Scriptures is not a concept. Scriptures is a person. When you stand before the Word of God, you are not merely standing before a concept. You are standing face to face with God. Listen, the moment you choose to read His Word, you choose to come into His presence and come face to face with God." Isn't that incredible? When I'm sitting in my house and in my room, or I'm sitting in my office and I open this book because there's something in my heart that desires God to speak to me, I have just made a choice to come face to face with the living God. Incredible goodness of God. Incredible goodness of God. What could be more better than that? The sad part is things like this can't stir our heart face to face with God. But there's so many, if I started talking about God wants to give you a house and money and promotion, we'd start getting excited. That's what I want to hear. But I'm telling you, when you love God with all of your heart and the desire of your heart is to know Him, there's nothing that can stir your heart than knowing when I get in His Word, He draws me face to face with Himself. because he's good. In this falling world, God's goodness is revealed in his faithfulness. As the Lord's people, when we begin to walk with God, there's one thing we begin to learn assuredly, and that is God is faithful. God is trustworthy. That God will never leave me. That God will never forsake me. That God will never fail me. You begin to learn that with a surety. When I think about the faithfulness of God, I can't help but think about Peter. Peter walking on the water and he begins to sink. And the mercy of Jesus' hand was there to lift him up and pull him up. And brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter how many times we sink in our adversities, in our trials. God's hand will always be there to lift us up. And when we come out of those waters of adversity, we'll come out a little stronger in the Lord. We come out a little more confident in the Lord. We come out a little more built up in our faith in the Lord because of the faithfulness of the Lord. Where would we all be without the incredible faithfulness of God? Where? But God is faithful. Why is God faithful? Because God is good. Amen. And in this fallen world, God's goodness is revealed in the promise of heaven, where there is no more pain and suffering for all of eternity. Beloved, we started out our message with a world that knew no suffering and pain. And we're going to end our message with a world that knows no suffering and pain. Revelation 21:4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." You want to know why? Because God is good. Amen. And listen, because God is good, we will enjoy heaven for all eternity. Hear me. Because God is good, we're going to enjoy heaven for all eternity. Have you ever thought about heaven? You ever thought about the splendor of heaven? Listen, when you truly start thinking about heaven and what the Word reveals heaven to be, how can you not get excited? I'm going to heaven. I want to tell you something. In heaven, the streets are made out of gold. In heaven, the city is so clear. The Bible says it's as transparent glass. You won't have walls like this. Everything, you can see through everything because that's how pure it is. Transparent glass. The Bible says the greatest carpenter that ever lived has made me a mansion in heaven. And for all eternity, I'm going to get to walk with the heavenly saints. That gets me excited. Abraham's going to be there. Hannah's going to be there. Ruth's going to be there. Daniel's going to be there. Elijah's going to be there. Elisha's going to be there. Paul's going to be there. Isaiah's going to be there. Jeremiah's going to be there. Amos is going to be there. The 12 disciples are going to be there. I'm going to walk with the heavenly saints forever in heaven. Very soon. And most of all, my faith is going to end in sight. Because I'm going to see Jesus. You're going to see Jesus. I'm going to walk with Jesus. We're going to talk with Jesus. We're going to see him. Why? Because God is good. Amen. And I want to tell you something. It's not very long away. Sometimes this lifetime may seem like a long time, but the Bible says it's just a vapor of smoke. It's here and it's gone. And then heaven is yours for all eternity. Why? Because God is good. God is good. Amen. So, Pastor Tim, we talked about the goodness of God to his people. But in this earth today, where is God's revealed goodness revealed to fallen humanity? To the lost? To sinners? Where is his goodness revealed? It's revealed in his long suffering. His long suffering. Where would any of us be without his long suffering? The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises of judgment to come when he's going to burn this earth with fire. But God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, But that all come to repentance and faith in the Lord. How come Jesus didn't come last night? Because he's looking at fallen humanity and he's saying, I'm long suffering because I don't want you to perish. Why didn't he come this morning? Because he's looking at our world today and he's saying, I love you and I'm long suffering. Yes, sin grieves my heart. The wickedness of your world grieves my heart. You have no idea how much it grieves my heart. But I'm long suffering, not willing that you should perish. I was talking to a man in the hospital not long ago. Real old elderly man. And I asked him, would you like to receive Jesus in your heart? And he said something like, I lived 90-something years without Jesus. I don't need him now. And then I responded, listen, on this side of eternity, you may feel like, it may seem to you like you don't need Jesus. But I'm telling you, when you get to the other side of eternity, you're going to need Jesus. He's the only thing that's going to keep you out of a godless hell for eternity. When you stand before God, you're going to need Jesus. In your 90-something years, God has been very patient with you. He's been very long-suffering with you. Because he takes no pleasure in eternal separation from sinners for all eternity. God loves you. And now his mercy, one more time, in the 90-something years you've been walking on this earth, one more time his mercy is coming to you and saying, you need me. Where is his goodness revealed? In his long suffering. His long suffering. Where would we be without the long suffering of God? You know, I know men and women lived an entire lifetime. And on their deathbed, they finally, you know what? I need God. And God was right there to say, mercy, 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 mercy. After 70, 80 years, mercy, mercy, mercy. Why? Because God is good. And his goodness is revealed in his long suffering with man.